Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. And for those that will be listening in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing, dear ones, on this high Sabbath, December 30th, 2023. This is our review of our chapter 78 entitled Calvary, our part 7 of our lesson 398. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to sing along with the Tiny Tot Teen Song entitled Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We would like all, any one of the little tiny tots, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
I'll go ahead and pray for Emma as she's taking a nap. She's not feeling too well. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can we bow our heads and our knees? Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up for this morning. Thank you for the Sabbath words that we're about to learn and partake of. May you please be with each and every one of us that are here. Please lead us and guide us according to your perfect will. We thank you and we love you for all that you do and continue to do for us, dear Father. And please be with those that are sick and afflicted. And please be with us today on your blessed high Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Welcome to all the precious family. This is the section where we are going to ask anyone of the family that would like to share the little blessings that they have been in their family, in their neighborhood, in whatever place that the Lord had placed them. If you would like to share their one, may you unmute your mic.
For this week of Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessings, just wanted to highlight my girls, Haley and Emma, once more for just always being willing to be helpful little hands. Especially Emma this week, I've noticed with her grandmother, she's been wanting to help to sweep around the house, to help to wash the dishes, and to help her to do little things to be a blessing to her grandmother, which is really good to see. Even at home and abroad, that she has that spirit to be able to be helpful. And that's what I'd like to share.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family that would like to share? Otherwise, we are going to continue, and we will be keeping the little ones in prayer as well for healing. It's story time in our review. The chapter 16 in Gethsemane, we are going to pass the mic to our dear brother so he can be able to review the lesson.
Jesus is the vine, and we're the branches. The Bible verse for our lessons are taken from the book of Mark 14 and 32, and from John 5 and 15. And they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, or be connected to the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me, or are connected to me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. The Savior's life on earth was a life of prayer. Many were the hours he spent alone with God. Often did he send up his earnest petitions to his Heavenly Father. Thus he received strength and wisdom to sustain him in his work and to keep him from falling under the temptations of Satan. After eating the Passover supper with his disciples, Jesus went with them to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he often went to pray. As he walked, he talked with them and taught them. But as they neared the garden, he became strangely silent. All his life, Jesus had lived in the presence of his Father. The Spirit of God had been his constant guide and support. He always gave God the glory for his work on earth and said, I can of mine own self do nothing, John 5:30. Next slide, please. We can do nothing ourselves. It is only by relying on Christ for all our strength that we can overcome and do his will on earth. We must have the same simple, childlike trust in him that he had in his Father. Christ said, without me ye can do nothing, John 15:5. The terrible night of agony for the Savior began as they neared the garden. It seemed that the presence of God, which had been his support, was no longer with him. He was beginning to feel what it was to be shut out from his Father. Christ must bear the sins of the world. As they were now laid upon him, they seemed more than he could endure. The guilt of sin was so terrible, he was tempted to fear that God could no longer love him. This is taken from the story of Jesus, pages 101 and 102.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing part two of our new title, In Gethsemane, our tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will be taking place January the 6th, 2024 of the calendar year. And I'm going to pass it back to our dear brother so he can review with the children.
All right. What was the Savior's life on earth?
The answer is, was a life of prayer.
A life of prayer. He came from a perfect heaven, and he found this life so troubling that he had to pray very often. What about us? Do we pray as often as we should? Probably not, but we'll learn to do that as time moves on. Where did Jesus go after eating the Passover supper with his disciples?
The Garden of Gethsemane.
The Garden of Gethsemane. That was it's like a park. Down across the creek and up the hill on the other side. He often went there to sleep. He didn't have a house. Bible says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So in the summertime at least, he'd probably go out and sleep in the garden. I don't know what he did in the winter. What did Christ say in John 15:5?
Without me, you can do nothing.
Without me, you can do nothing. Well, what does that mean? Well, he gives us the strength to do what we do. He gives us the wisdom to do the right thing. So we're dependent on him completely. Like he said, without him, we can do nothing. Okay. Thank you for listening and participating.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother and little one. It's time for the tiny talks on the appearance to learn precious lesson in God's creation in our review. This is our part 52, will be the last part of this water topic, the water of life, and our dear brother will be the one to review.
Southwesterners, everyone, here's today's lesson concerning water. The Water of Life Review, a Bible verse is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 2, lesson 13, healings. And verses 5 to 12 says, but when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Research, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Savior looked upon the mournful countenance and saw of a pleading eye fixed upon him. He understood the case. He had drawn to himself that perplexed and doubting spirit. While the paralytic was yet home, the Savior had brought conviction to his conscience. When he repented of his sins and believed in the power of Jesus to make him whole, the life-giving mercies of the Savior had first blessed his longing heart. Jesus had watched for the first glimmer of faith grow into a belief that he was the sinner's only hope, and had seen it grow stronger with every effort to come into his presence. Then he who had been born on a litter to Jesus rises to his feet with the elasticity and strength of youth. The life-giving blood bounds through his veins. Every organ of his body springs into sudden activity. The glow of health succeeds the pallor of approaching death. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." The Desire of Ages, pages 268 to 269. In this picture, there's this girl taking a bath, and beneath it, a picture of a purple tub with suds saying, "Bath time." It says below, "Bathing helps the bowels, the stomach, and the liver, giving health and energy to each, and it promotes digestion." And above these two pictures of these two islands says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Isaiah 55:1. And the beauty of water. We are to contemplate the wonderful works of God and repeat the lessons learned from them to our children, that we may lead them to see His skill, His power, His grandeur, and His creative works. And we read all six of these lessons concerning healings. 1, health. 2, healing. 3, drawing power. 4, be thou made clean. 5, through a roof. 6, thy sins be forgiven thee. Our next lesson will be about the mammals of the Bible. And it says below, the title of obedience to natural laws is obedience to divine laws. Christ came to all as the God of nature. He came to reflect upon all the things of nature and their relative importance. The glory of heaven, to impress human minds with the glory of Him who created all things, to teach them to obey His voice, and impart the science of true education, which is the simplicity of true religion. Psalm 19:1-6 quoted. Through Bible Commentary, page 1144, paragraph 1. And it says next to this picture of this red spruce, "There are life-giving properties in the balsam of the pine, in the fragrance of the cedar and the fir. But there are other trees that are health-promoting. Let no such trees be ruthlessly cut down. Cherish them where they are abundant, and plant more where there are but few." 7 Testimonies, page 77. And next to these pictures of these other trees, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 1:3. And on the above, in the picture of trees, are the common western Oregon trees, the red alder, the hemlock, and the bigleaf maple. And below, the common eastern Oregon trees. They are the ponderosa pine, the western juniper, and the grand fir. And next to these two pictures of mountain goats, those are mountains. "When ye see the rugged mountains, think about the created rock that God made in the very beginning of this earth's history and how sin has changed it." And here, there is the same picture of the creek taken by a friend of our dear sister Cece and family. And here's how it's defined. The creek is a small stream of water, usually larger than a brook, but smaller than a river. Creeks, streams, and brooks are just as important as the larger rivers. The wide, deep river that offers a highway for the traffic and travel of nations is valued as a worldwide benefit. But what are the little rills that help to form this noble stream? Were it not for them, the river would disappear. Upon it, its very existence depends. So men called to lead in some great work are honored as if its success were due to them alone. But that success required the faithful cooperation of humbler workers, almost without number, workers of whom the world knows nothing. Tasks uncommended, if they labor without recognition, is the lot of most of the world's toilers. And in such a lot, many are filled with discontent. They feel that life is wasted. But the little rill that makes its noiseless way through grove and meadow, bearing health and fertility and beauty, is as useful in its way as the broad river. And contributing to the river's life, it helps achieve that which alone it could never have accomplished. The lesson is one needed by many. Talent is too much idolized and station too much coveted. There are too many who will do nothing unless they are recognized as leaders, too many who must receive praise, but they have no interest to labor. What we need to learn is faithfulness in making the utmost use of the powers, opportunities we have, and contentment in the lot to which heaven assigns us. Education, pages 116-117. Continuing our reference reading for the water topic of our Tiny Tots lesson review. Chapter 27, Thou Canst Make Me Clean. The Savior looked upon the mournful countenance and saw the pleading eyes fixed upon him. He understood the case. He had drawn to himself that perplexed and doubting spirit. While the paralytic was yet at home, the Savior had brought conviction to his conscience. When he repented of his sins and believed in the power of Jesus to make him whole, the life-giving mercies of the Savior had first blessed his longing heart. Jesus had watched the first glimmer of faith grow into a belief that he was the sinner's only helper, and had seen it grow stronger with every effort to come into his presence. Now, in the words that fell like music on the sufferer's ears, the Savior said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Sacrilegious, page 268, paragraph 2. The burden of despair rose from the sick man's soul. The peace of forgiveness rests upon his spirit and shines out upon his countenance. His physical pain is gone, and his whole being is transformed. The helpless paralytic is healed. The guilty sinner is pardoned. In simple faith, he accepted the words of Jesus as the boon of new life. He urged no further requests, but lay in blissful silence, too happy for words. The light of heaven irradiated his countenance, and the people looked with awe upon the scene. The rabbis had waited anxiously to see what disposition Christ would make of this case. They recollected how the man had appealed to them for help, and they had refused him hope or sympathy. Not satisfied with this, they had declared that he was suffering the curse of God for his sins. These sins came fresh to their minds when they saw the sick man before them. They marked the interest with which all were watching the scene, and they felt a terrible fear of losing their own influence over the people. Continuing. The paralytic found in Christ healing for both the soul and the body. The spiritual healing was followed by physical restoration. This lesson should not be overlooked. There are today thousands suffering from physical disease who, like the paralytic, are longing for the message. Thy sins are forgiven. The burden of sin lives unrest, and unsatisfied desires is the foundation of their maladies. They can find no relief until they come to the healer of the soul. The peace which he alone can give will impart vigor to the mind and health to the body. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. In him was life, and he says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He is a quickening spirit. 1 John 3:8, John 1:4, 10:10, 1 Corinthians 15:45. And he still has the same life-giving power as when on earth he healed the sick and spoke forgiveness to the sinner. He forgiveth all thy iniquities. He healed all thy diseases. Psalm 103:3. Physical disease, however malignant and deep-seated, was healed by the power of Christ. But the disease of the soul took a firmer hold upon those who closed their eyes against the light. Leprosy and palsy were not so terrible as bigotry and unbelief. In the home of the healed paralytic, there was great rejoicing when he returned to his family, carrying with ease the couch upon which he'd been slowly borne from their presence but a short time before. They gathered around with tears of joy, scarcely daring to believe their eyes. He stood before them in the full vigor of manhood. Those arms that they had seen lifeless were quick to obey his will. The flesh that had been shrunken and leaden-hued was now fresh and ruddy. He walked with a firm, free step. Joy and hope were written in every lineament of his countenance. And an expression of purity and peace had taken the place of the marks of sin and suffering. Glad thanksgiving went up from that home, and God was glorified through his Son, who had restored hope to the hopeless and strength to the stricken. This man and his family were ready to lay down their lives for Jesus. No doubt did in their faith, no unbelief marred their fealty due to him who had brought light into their darkened home. Desire of Ages is pages 268 to 271. And here is the review. Our three bonus questions, and you'll find the answers is in the Bible. The question one, what did Jesus say to the man with palsy? Find the answer on Mark 2:5. Two, who was there listening and finding Paul? You can find the answer on Mark 2:6-7. Three, how did Jesus answer their thoughts? The answer is in Mark 2:8-11. What did the healed man then do? We find the answer in Mark 2:12. Now I'll turn the mic back to Mama.
Amen. Praise the Lord, and thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, Savior. Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou calling, do not pass me by. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us, and those in other devices and later are recording. Our opening song is a hymn to a theme entitled Cover With His Life. You may find it also in the hymn book, number 412. If you would like to sing along with us, dear one, may I unmute the mic to be able to do so. Look upon Jesus, sinless he. Father, impute his life unto me. My life a scarlet, my sin and woe. Cover with his life whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Then shall I know My sins are whiter than snow.
Deeper the wound sheds, fresh and has made. Red are the stains, my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee, safe from the law that now judgeth me. Cover with his light, whiter than stone, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his light, whiter than snow. I'm not sure which one we're on.
Number three,
okay. Longing the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe of white snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own glory I wear, thy pure life alone. Covered with his light, whiter than snow, fullness of his light, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his light, whiter than snow.
Reconciled by his death for my sin, justified by his blood pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when he turneth my Lord. Covered with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sins and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning, and please protect us. Please spread the word that we're going to learn to you, protect the people that's here and the people that's not here, and they can come back home to the spirit of the Sabbath. Please protect us as it's been a bad weather. And please protect anybody in the city. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture of our review lesson is taken from the Sunlight Sound Studio, entitled Behold He Cometh, Memory Verse CD, of chapter Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, also chapter 4, verses 8 and 11, King James margin. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week? Before we hear all the answer to the questions, dear one, we are going to take a few minutes to reread last Sabbath part 1 of our lesson Calvary part 7 in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 752. As the eyes of Jesus wandered over the multitude about him, one figure arrested his attention. At the foot of the cross stood his mother, supported by the disciple John. She could not endure to remain away from her son, and John, knowing that the end was near, had brought her again to the cross. In his dying hour, Christ remembered his mother, looking into her grief-stricken face and then upon John. Next slide, please.
Continuing, he said to her, woman, behold, then son. Then to John, behold, thy mother. Sorry. John understood. Christ's words accepted the trust. He at once took Mary to his home, and from that hour, cried, cared for her
tenderly.
Loving Savior, amid all his
physical pain and mental anguish,
he had a thoughtful care for his mother. He had no money with which to provide
for her comfort.
Next slide, please. Slide, please.
Where's your glasses?
Continuing, but he was enshrined in the heart of John, and he gave his mother to him as a precious legacy. Thus he provided for her that which she most needed, the tender sympathy of one who loved her because she loved Jesus. And in receiving her as a sacred trust, John was receiving a great blessing. She was a constant reminder of his beloved master. Desire of Ages, page 752, paragraph 2.
The perfect example of Christ's filial love shines forth with undimmed luster from the midst of ages. For nearly 30 years, Jesus, by his daily toil, had helped bear the burdens of the home. And now, even in his last agony, he remembers to provide for his sorrowing widowed mother. Next slide, please. And somebody can take over.
Desires of Ages, page 752. Continuing. The same spirit will be seen in every disciple of our Lord. Those who follow Christ will follow that it is a part of their religion to respect and provide for their parents. From the hearts where his love is cherished, father and mother will never fall off receiving true full care and tender sympathy. Desire of Ages, page 752, paragraph 3.
And now, This is our day 752. And now the Lord of glory was dying, a ransom for the race. In yielding up his precious life, Christ was not upheld by a triumphant joy. All was oppressive gloom. It was not the dread of death that weighed upon him. It was not the pain and ignominy of the cross that caused his inexpressible agony. Christ was the prince of sufferers, but his suffering was from a sense of the malignity of sin. Next slide, please. A knowledge that through familiarity with evil, man had become blinded to its enormity. Christ saw how deep is the hold of sin upon the human heart. How few would be willing to break from its power. He knew that without help from God, humanity must perish. He saw multitudes perishing within reach of abundant hell. This is Isaiah 752, paragraph 4.
Continuing, upon Christ, as our substitute and surety, was laid the iniquity of us all. He was counted a transgressor that he might redeem us from the condemnation of the law. The guilt of every descendant of Adam was pressing upon his heart. The wrath of God against sin, the terrible manifestation of his displeasure because of iniquity, filled the soul of his son with consternation. Next slide, please.
All his life, Christ had been publishing to a fallen world the good news of the Father's mercy and pardoning love. Salvation for the chief of sinners was his theme, but now with the terrible weight of guilt he bears, he cannot see the Father's reconciling face. The withdrawal of the divine countenance from the Savior is this hour of supreme anguish, pierced his heart with a sorrow that can never be fully understood by man. So great was this agony that his physical pain was hardly felt. The Desire of Ages, page 753, paragraph 1.
Continuing the reading, Satan with his fierce temptations wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. Hope did not present to him his coming forth from the grave a conqueror, or tell him of his Father's acceptance of the sacrifice. He feared that sin was so offensive to God that their separation was to be eternal. Christ felt the anguish which the sinner will feel when mercy shall no longer plead for the guilty race. It was the sense of sin bringing the Father's wrath upon him as a man's substitute that made the cup he drank so bitter and broke the heart. The Desire of Ages, page 753.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. Let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, and is also a scripture song. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown? Now we have the sixth question that we have retained from the first part of our study. And I will reread it for those that are not able to see the screen. And if you would like to participate, you may unmute your mic or even text it in the room, by God's grace. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? Well, dear ones, who would like to take the first one? May you unmute your mic to do so.
The answer to number one, who is the main character or characters, is the main character here we see is Jesus. We saw John, his disciple, and his mother.
The answer to question two was the main idea for this section of our story. It is Jesus telling John to care for his mother and his agony from our sins.
The answer to number three, where did the story take place? We know that this section of the story is taking place while Christ is on the cross in Gethsemane.
The answer to question four, when did the story begin? Jesus spied his mother with John looking sadly at him. My answer to question five, how can you relate to the story? Christ told him it was from man's sin, which he died for. And that was his main goal, was to die for our sins. All sins that man and even us today have done, and even from the past and even in the future, which we don't know of. All the wrongs we did are laying on Christ, and that was weighing heavy in his mind. But in order for us to be safe from it, that was the whole goal of this crucifixion.
One thing I learned.
Go ahead, the elder.
Sorry, dear sister, go right ahead.
It's okay, dear brother. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. One thing I learned last time, actually, and it was just reinforced this time, was on slide 30, it mentioned that John loved Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she loved Jesus. So he didn't love her mainly because she was the mother of the Savior. He didn't love her mainly because she believed in the Savior. He loved her because she loved Jesus. So our love for one another of those in the faith is not because they're of the same faith we are, or not because they believe the same truths that we do, or not because we're friends with them, but because they love Jesus like we love Jesus. So that's the bond between us as the family of God, is that we love God, and that is what unites us together, that common, amen, the glue of love. So because our brother or sister in the faith loves Jesus and we love Jesus, that's what allows us to love them with a true form of love. It's that common bond of love to the Savior.
Dear sister, you said you wanted to be able to share?
The last slide for the reading was something that I just realized. It says at the bottom paragraph here, he feared that sin was so offensive to God that their separation was to be eternal. Christ felt the anguish which the sinner will feel when mercy shall no longer plead for the guilty race. Right now, we still have Christ interceding for us, and we still have mercy. But if we can just see for a moment here what Christ is feeling on the cross, that those who are not sealed with his robe of righteousness will also feel this anguish. Also, what was very interesting to me, it was the sense of sin bringing the Father's wrath upon him as man's substitute that made the cup. It was very interesting to me. Imagine the Father having to do to punish his innocent son for the world's sin. That was very interesting to me, how much when Christ suffered on the cross that his Father suffered also. That just stood out to me as well.
Amen. Is there anyone that would like to share? I have seen this from the first part or the second part. Christ came to cover every human being. And I have noticed in the picture on the second, just to be able to give an illustration, when Jesus died, he died the death of a sinner, even though he did not sin. And if you notice, between the two teeth that was in each side, there's one that had allowed the Spirit to work on his heart, and he was able to see Christ's life as the Spirit was being brought. He realized that everyone that came to him, not only for healing, but also for salvation, he saw the hope for his own, that the Lord would be able to pardon him. But if you notice, the other one felt that there is no way that he can be able to be saved because his sin was too much. But if you notice, the Lord even covered him because he died for everyone. And even the last that he had given on the cross, it was to give for those that was going to be lost. He died with that feeling that he wasn't going to see beyond the grave. So he even covered the thief that would not submit to the working of the Spirit. That's what I have realized in this one as well. Is there anyone else that would like to share? This is number 6. What did we learn from this lesson?
I learned that Christ's misery was for man's sins, and his love helped us all. But thanks to his love for his mother and love for all people, not just those who trust him, that's what his devotion was, and his original plan to save us from all transgressions, including our own.
Does anybody else would like to share? Otherwise, we are going to continue. We have just finished the 6th question. So we have poem, and we also have special music, and also a thought. This thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Selected Messages, Book 1, pages 408, paragraph 2, through 409, paragraph 2, entitled Divinity and Humanity United in Christ. Our opening scripture is taken from John chapter 1, verse 14, King James Version, and it reads, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This particular section was taken from Jesus' Name Above All Name, page 369, paragraph 1. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
In Christ.
Go ahead, Josh.
In Christ, divinity and humanity were combined. Divinity was not degraded to humanity. Divinity held its place, but humanity, by being united to divinity, was the fiercest test of temptation in the wilderness. The prince of this world came to Christ after his long fast, when he was hungered, suggested to him to command the stones to become bread. But the plan of God, devised for the salvation of man, provided that Christ should know hunger and poverty in every phase of man's experience. He withstood the temptation through the power that man may command. He laid hold on the throne of God, and there is not a man or woman who may not have access to the same help through faith in God. Man may become a partaker of the divine nature, and our soul lives who may not summon the aid of heaven in temptation and trial. Christ came to reveal the source of his power, that man might never rely on his unaided human capabilities. First Selected Messages, page 408, paragraph 2.
Sorry. Continuing. Those who would overcome must put the tax, every power of their being. They must organize on their knees before God for divine power. Christ came to be our example and to make known to us that we may be partakers of the divine nature. How? By having escaped the corruption that are in the world through lust. Satan did not gain the victory over Christ. He did not put his foot upon the soul of the Redeemer. He did not touch the head, though he bruised the heel. Christ, by his own example, made it evident that man may stand in integrity. Man may have a power to resist evil, a power that neither earth nor death nor hell can master, a power that will place them where they may overcome as Christ overcame divinity and humanity. May be combined in them. Continue. Okay, someone else. Or could I continue? Okay. Those who would overcome. Okay. It was the work of Christ to present the truth in the framework of the gospel and to reveal the precepts and principles that he had given to fallen men. Every idea he presented was his own. He needed not to borrow thoughts from any, or he was the originator of all truth. He could present the idea of prophets and philosophers and preserve his originality, for all wisdom was his. He was the source, the fountain of all truth. He was in advance of all. And by his teaching, he became the spiritual leader for all age. What's that? Further reflection, if Jesus is the originator of all truth, who is the source of all lies? Satan.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to share a poem. Is entitled Come to Jesus, taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 13, page 346, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one? It was
Jesus, that condescending King, is pleased to hear when children sing, and while our feeble voices rise, will not the humble prayer despise.
Then keep us, Lord, from every sin which we can see and feel within, and what we neither feel nor see, forgive for all is known to thee.
We own there's nothing good in us to tempt thee to befriend us thus. For sin and folly waste our days, our prayers are weak and poor our praise.
Yet, yeah. Lord, we humbly... Go ahead, guys.
Thank you, Jesus. Yet, Lord, we humbly venture nigh, because thou comest down to die, and all the plea we dare to make is pardon for the mercy's sake.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. Scripture song is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section Encouraging Quote from Ministry of Healing, page 122, paragraph 2 and 3 from the Spirit of Prophecy.
The same power that Christ exercised when he walked visibly among men is in his word, is in his word. The same power in them he is speaking to us individually, as directly as if we could listen to his voice. It is in these promises that Christ communicates to us his grace and power. They are leaves from that tree which is for the healing of the nations. Leaves from the tree received, assimilated, they are to be the strength of the character, the inspiration and sustenance of the life. Nothing besides can impart that courage and faith which gives vital energy. Vital energy to that whole being. Ministry of Healing, page 122.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, we are going to have a chance to be able to share our testimonies. If we don't have it in this program, we can be able to have it right after when we finish all our service, which is the High Sabbath. So next Sabbath, dear ones, we will continue with part 8 of our lesson, Calvary, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear little ones, mommies or daddies, our guests, would like to be able to close the review section of our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
We could bow our heads and our knees and our hearts and come humbly. Our Father, thank you for waking us up for this morning. Thank you for your loving mercies towards us. Thank you for the lessons that were brought to us, dear Father God. May they be planted deeply in our hearts, soul. I pray, dear Father God, for those that are sick and are not feeling well today, that you may put your healing hands upon each and every one of them. You know exactly where the malady lies, dear Father, and you have a balm for each and every one. and I pray that you do according to your perfect will. Please continue to lead us into higher heights with you today, dear Father God. Open up our eyes and our ears and our understanding that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. May you please continue to lead us according to your perfect will on this blessed high Sabbath. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to continue with our lesson, part 8 of our chapter 78, entitled Calvary. And that will be lesson 399. And it will take place on January the 6th, 2024 of the calendar year. May you have a wonderful day of high Sabbath. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you. And his healing hands be upon each of the ones that are under with burdens of any kind. And leaving the scripture and also the quote, the scripture is taken from Psalm 16, verse 18, James, and it reads, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And the margin is taken from Step to Christ, page 69, paragraph 1. Margin. Our growth in grace, our joy, our usefulness all depends upon our union with Christ. It is by communion with him, daily, outwardly, by abiding in him, that we are to grow in grace. He is not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. It is Christ first and last and always. He is to be with us, not only at the beginning and at the end of our course, but at every step of the way. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.